Welcome to the Common Sense Mentoring Classic Series. In this classic audio presentation, you'll discover why some principles of success are truly timeless and have empowered countless independent business owners, just like you, to live life in balance.
Really amazing. I love what you said about your team, and it goes right into this little story I found, so I'm going to read it to you. It's an original story from the play called Some Folks Feel the Rain. A man was lost while driving through the country. As he tried to reach for the map, he accidentally drove off the road into a ditch. Though he wasn't injured, his car was struck deep in the mud. So the man walked to a nearby farm to ask for help. "Warwick can get you out of the ditch," the farmer said, pointing to the old mule standing in the field. The man looked at this decrepit old mule, and he looked at the farmer, and he stood there repeating. The farmer kept saying, "Yep, yep, old Warwick can do the job, Warwick can do the job." So the man figured, "Well, I've got nothing to lose. I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to have Warwick and this old man come and help me." So the old man came, and he brought his mule, and he dragged it all up, and he tied the mule, a rope around his neck, and tied it to the car, and he said, "Okay, pull Fred, pull Jack, pull Ted, pull Warwick." The mule pulled the car right out of the ditch. The man was amazed, and he thanked the farmer, and he petted the mule, and he asked him, "Why did you call out all those names?" The farmer grinned and said, "Old Warwick is just about blind. As long as he believes he's part of a team, he doesn't mind doing the pulling." So, yeah, so it's really great. Really great to say, you know, that sometimes when you're down, you call your team, and they bring you back up, and you're out there doing it again. So that was really good to hear. I've had the pleasure of going out with Gary over these last months this summer because I did what I told you to do. I started to really focus. And I, like a lot of you, have a full-time job. I work in the Financial Brothers office, and so I'm there 4 days a week. And so I, too, need to focus on what our dreams are and what our goals are and what direction I want to go in. So I have started doing that, and I go with Gary more and more all the time. A lot of the groups that we work with are out-of-town groups. So we live in Cleveland, and we have people in Indiana. So if you go to Indiana, that means you're probably going to be in the car for about 5 hours at least. So I might be coming home late at night and going to work early in the morning on not a lot of sleep. But if we're going to focus, if we're going to do this, this is what we're going to do. So I noticed one thing I really like about going with Gary is one that we're a team. So when you talk about a team, that's your first team. If you have a husband or wife, that's your first team. So I'll go with Gary. And I love when he's finishing up. He'll be showing the plan, and he'll be finishing up, and there's usually some other people in the room that are in the business, and he'll say, "What is it that you like about the business? What is it that you like about the business? What really turns you on about the business?" Sometimes people say, "You know, I really like the products." Or somebody else will say, "You know, I really like the money. It's the potential to make a lot of money. We don't have to go back to school and learn anything new. But we can make a lot of money in this business." And that is true. You really can. Other people will say it's the freedom that the business allows them to have. And it does allow you to have freedom. And some of that is money. When you have money, you have freedom, right? You don't have to do a lot of things when you have that money. And other people will say what I say usually. And I usually say it's the people. It's the people in the business that really keep bringing me back. And we really have a great group of people that seem to be attracted to this business. These are all great reasons. But my reason is you guys right here. And I think that our greatest asset is probably the group of people that we have that are ready and able to build that business and who are putting that really first and doing that. I guess it was about 14 years ago. I don't know if some of you remember. There was a story of a Russian submarine that sank. It was called the Kursk. I think it was in the year 2000. And it was one of the biggest submarines that was ever built. It was a war submarine. I think they really built it with thoughts of the United States in mind 14 years ago. But the boat sank out in the Barents Sea. It was doing some kind of exercises, and it went down. And because it was built so sturdy, it was built to go through ice, to go through anything, they weren't able to really save the people. So 183 soldiers went down, and there were 23, or it was the Navy actually, and there were 23 that were still alive after this explosion. And so they sent these divers down, and the divers knew what area that the guys were still alive in. And so they heard this tapping, and the tapping they were trying to figure out was some kind of code. And what the code was they were saying, is there any hope? Is there any hope? And, of course, there was no hope, you know. But I've noticed as we go out and we sit at these kitchen tables, just like you guys do, and we're talking to people, what I'm hearing is there any hope? You know, these folks, they're friends of ours, they're people that we meet, and they're looking for that hope that there's something out there that's going to help them get out of debt. There is an answer to bring their wife home. There is a way that they're going to be able to put their kids through college. You know, there's a way that we can stay home and be with my mother, you know, while she's ill and not doing well. I mean, they're people are looking for hope right now, and we have that hope. This business is something that really offers the opportunity. So when we are out and we are sharing the hope that we have, you know, it's not a light thing. You're not twisting somebody's arm. We really have. I always love when they say we have the cookie, but we have the cookie. We really have what people are looking for. They have some kind of opportunity. People have become afraid to dream. When they say that people are not even believing the American dream anymore, they're afraid to dream. My background, before I met Gary and I have been married for 10 years. So when they talk about somebody that really built a business, Gary built huge other businesses in the past before we were around. So he did that on his own. But I met Gary about 10 years ago, and he had never been married before. And I had been married for 2 years in my 20s. So I was single for a long time. I was a professional person myself. I'm an interior designer. That's my background. And so I had a good career. I did some great things. I did restaurants and hotels and sports bars and churches. I got to be called the church lady after a while. I did so many churches. But I was always, and I did a lot of residential work, and I was always making somebody else's dream come true. When you go in and you sit down and you get to know somebody and you talk to them about what they want to do with that room or their house or whatever it is, you're making their dreams come true. And I was 49 years old when I met Gary. And so I had pretty much, you know, I was married for a couple years in my 20s and never had kids. I watched my own dreams kind of disintegrate. You know, I didn't have the family that I always wanted. There were things I didn't want that I didn't have. That I really wanted, had a good life. I'm not complaining about that. But people, all of a sudden, you just stop dreaming. You stop really looking ahead for things. And when I met Gary, we went out and our first date, and he was, at that time, 10 years younger. And so I don't think he was dating a lot at that time. So I like to tease him that he really didn't know what to talk about. And so he started showing me the plan. It was a blind date the first time we went out. I didn't know it at the time, though. See, I did not know it at the time because he said to me, you know, after we were talking, of course, about other things, but he said, well, you know what? If you could live anywhere in the United States, if money wasn't an issue, where would you want to live? You know? Oh, wow, I started thinking about that. Where would I want to live? You know, probably somewhere really nice and warm or whatever. But you know what? I thought of the dream that I used to have. I lived close to Lake Erie, not on the lake, and always wanted to live on the lake. I thought, wouldn't that be nice to look out, you know, and be right on the lake? And I said, you know what? I'd like to live on the lake. Really? Yeah, I'd like to live on Lake Erie. I mean, I just love that, you know. And really, and we talked for a little bit about that. He said, you know, if money wasn't an issue, if you could drive any car, what is it you would drive? I don't know. You know, I hadn't thought about that for a while. I just think, you know, I think I used to have a Fiat many, many years ago, a little red Fiat. Oh, I love that little car. It was so sporty, and I thought I was a real hot shot when I drove it. So I thought, you know, I would like to have that. So, but as he went on, what he does now, I know he was showing me the plan. Where would I like to go on vacation? And but you know, I fell in love with him that night. because nobody was asking me about what my dreams were. Nobody cared. You know, I'm not that nobody cared, but you know, just people don't ask. I mean, how many people do you go up to and ask about what their dreams are and what their hopes are? And you know, I really did. I fell in love with him that night. Then Gary gave me, and we dated for a while, and things were proceeding, and I knew a lot about the business, and I wasn't sure whether he really did want to date me or if he just wanted to sign me up. But then I kind of figured after a while that I thought he was getting kind of serious. So he gave me a CD to listen to. He gave me a lot of CDs because he wanted me to understand what the business was. But he gave me one from his sister-in-law, Debbie Libby, who Tyler's wife who's in the business and who has done just some amazing, amazing things. They've done amazing things in their life. And when you hear people talk about these things, it's not because they want to brag about them. It's not because they want to tell you this is what we did and this is, you know, we're so great and we've done all this stuff. No, it's that we sat where you sat. We were, you know, Gary talks about times when he went to his brother's house and the house was so cold the kids were blue, you know, because they couldn't afford to put the heat on. Everybody comes from a background that, you know, we didn't start this way. Everybody came through hard times when making $100 a month was a great thing, you know, being able to cover that loyalty or autoship. You know, they have all arrived where they are or where they're going to because they started in places just like everybody here that's sitting, you know, we've all started back there. But he gave me this CD, and it was Imagine, and she talked about imagine, she was saying imagine, and she said the things that she did, that she was able to go to Europe and take her parents who had never been there, and that she was able to ride on the Orient Express, and how, I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but they get dressed up at night, you know, and they all wear gowns, and just amazing things that she was able to do, and that really struck a chord with me because I had worked on a railroad car project, and I was like, oh, man, I always wanted to go on a railroad car after that, you know. But I heard of some of the things that she did, and they took their daughter to England, and she was able to go to school there, and just all the amazing things that she did, and, you know, just imagine. And she would always say, imagine, because she wants to put you in that position. Can you imagine what it would be like, you know, to have your dreams come true? And I happened to be driving at that time, and I looked up, and I was on Imagine Boulevard. I couldn't believe it. And I said, oh, my goodness, Imagine Boulevard. You know, this is for me. I said, man, you know, that's the guy for me. This is the guy for me. So everybody has their own story to tell. You know, Debbie told her story, and I tell you a little bit about my part, you know, and that is some of my story and my background and my history, but you all have your own story. You know, you might be able to relate to Debbie or relate to me or Shannon or Gerald, whoever it is that you're sitting and you're talking to, you know. We all have our own story, but there are people out there who really need to hear that. They need to hear your story. What you came from, what you went through, the experiences that you had. If that's all we do, sometimes I think if that's all we do in our business, then we've been successful. You know, if I can sit down and talk to somebody who's, I say in my own situation, if I could sit down and talk to a girl who thinks she's never going to meet her Prince Charming and maybe she's 30 years old, I can say, hang on, honey. You know, you never know who's around the corner. You never know what's going to happen. You know, or if you're, you can't, 1 month you can't make the rent, and the next month you're bringing in $1,000 check because you signed people up in the business and things are going well, you know, then you can talk to someone and say, hey, hang on, because get out there, show the plan, this is going to work. You've got to tell your story. People need that. I would say, I bought a card for myself many years ago, and it says, be pretty if you can. Be witty if you must, but be gracious if it kills you. And, you know, it's the grace that we see in a lot of these women, a grace that I've seen in my sister-in-law, Debbie, or in Shannon Kwok. You know, it's that grace that they take the time with a lot of us and a lot of you to try to build into your lives, you know. And that's not something that you want to just hang on to. That's something that you want to emulate, you know. A Valerie Haugen, She'll tell her story, how she got up, and she wasn't even able to go to a grocery store by herself. I look at her now speaking, and I can't even believe that she would call her sister to please come and go to the store with her because she was so shy. You know, people need to hear that. People need to hear that story. You know, when I'm preparing to come up here, I need to think, gee, she was so shy that she had a hard time going to the store, you know, and now look where she is and look what she's done. So I just want to say that we have a great, great future ahead of us. And I look at you guys like 21 years old. And it is awesome where you could be free at 23. Imagine that. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Hey, keep your dream in front of you. Just keep focused. We've got so much, and we have so far to go in this. I just can't imagine. I mean, someday this is going to be a worldwide thing, and you're going to remember the day that you sat here. You'll be in the duck pond and you'll fill it up. I'm sure of that. So I'm going to bring on my husband. He is an amazing teacher. He has been. He doesn't want to be called a legend because that would make him sound old, he said. But he has been a legend. And the reason that Gary has been is because he likes people. He really loves people. And I think that really shows. And that's...
Thank you, dear. I'm not sure I like people, but it pays good. So I can learn to like stuff, right? Thank you, dear. I love my wife. And you're right. I thought, all right, after waiting this long to meet somebody, if she don't like the business, I'm not going to fight the rest of this war life out like this, right? What are we going to do here? Anyway, I'll give you a very brief background. We say we need the stories. Listen, I don't know about you, but when I show the plan, they go home that first night. You know exactly what to do. Whitney's the best, say, in Shannon, on do this, do this. He's got a reason behind it all, and it all makes sense. But by golly, the stories. What happened? We go out there, and we show them the plan, and we want them to build the business. So here's how to do it. And we make them all how to do it. They don't know why. They don't have any hope. Stories. I give Tyler's, now he's my sponsor, I admit, I'm prejudiced, but a daring adventure. I give it out every night. I got a guy, Judy and I did, we just sponsored a new personal, and we're on the bottom. He said, oh, I heard that. Listen to him over. Every time you hear something else. Tyler, how I build the business. Hey, we got a CD, if you haven't heard this, Robert Rome CD, Personality Style. We sent this to a brand new personal of ours up in Northern Maine. Get this. We got a guy that wanted to get in the business. We registered him. He hasn't seen the plan yet. Anyway, they got 5 kids. We mailed this CD to him. His wife talked to Judy, and she says, I figured out one of the kids. She thought there was something wrong with them. They were wired wrong. She didn't realize that's the way God wired them. See, they're not being defiant. We just had the same thing happen with another person. Well, all of a sudden, when you don't understand the personalities, you think, I got to fix this kid. And maybe that kid is wired different. You'll understand the difference. Now, I'm all for this one. But by the same token, it's a wonderful CD. I was raised in the North Woods of Maine. We my brothers and I, we worked. We love all this. Way back in God's country, back in the woods today. You want to know, you don't want to have a job. I got a guy that works for the Border Patrol. He's a Border Patrol guy in Laredo, Texas right now. Laredo is sort of the center where everybody comes across. And it's the scariest thing on earth. Him down there, and he's texting me right now. What if I move to Houlton, Maine? That's right up in God's country where I'm from. And I'm sitting there texting all day back about what he's going to love about it. One thing he's going to love about it is it's going to be safe, right? My point is, I don't know what my point is, except we love it up there in the North Woods of Maine. We call it God's country. There's no poison snakes, no poison ivy, no poison nothing. God wouldn't put stuff like that where he lives, or not in his country, right? But anyway, what that has to do with anything, we learned. We had sporting camps. That's where people come from for a week. They used to come for a month. We've been in the business 120 years. And people come, and you serve them. We learned to build log cabins, cut trees, and cut wood. And we just loved what we did. We loved people. We loved doing all the good things. And then I went and got a job. I don't know about you. No Libby. Somebody wrote a book about Libby's. Nobody in 400 years had ever worked for anybody else. And Tyler and I were the first two to ever go get a job working outside for somebody else. It didn't work. I don't know about you. I didn't dislike my job. I didn't dislike my boss. Right? I heard somebody, who was it? John Wayne said, life is hard. It's harder when you're stupid. That's my boss. And I was working for him. It didn't make things easy. I don't know about you. I read somewhere, somebody said, if you see your boss more than you see your kids, your life sucks. Actually, I think Tyler said that. Sounds like him. Anyway, but it's true, right? Do what you got to do. I don't mean not work, but earn the right to go out there and be your own man in your own business, right? And somebody said, well, this is hard. I thought, have you worked for nothing? Have you tried kissing butt for a living? Anybody corporate? Anybody work corporate? Anybody do the corporate? Did you ever kiss butt in corporate situations? Have you ever? Nobody will admit it. I wouldn't admit it either, right? Walk around as a grown man. And they laugh, right? Corporate laugh. Somebody tell a joke. My boss was named, what was it? It's been so long. Bill. Bill tell a joke. And we'd all, ha, 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 ha. It was embarrassing to kiss butt in public. I don't mean to be defiant. Earn the right to walk out and say, I don't need your job. Thank you. It was here. You know what the word grubstake means? The old West. What would happen is, what's your first name?
Gilbert.
Gilbert knows how to be a prospector for gold. And he's got a mule, and I got some money. So I'll pay half the money to buy the food, and you go do the prospect, and then we'll split the results. So that's the grubstake. The money I gave is the grubstake. What happens is, what you're working, your job is giving you the grubstake, giving you the money and the gas, and get you down the road to buy your tools to go to the functions, so you can earn your freedom. Now, your upline's not going to take half. Right? What I love about the business, when you sponsor somebody else, you don't take money out of their pocket. Somebody said, what do? I said, we set folks up in business. If they make money, you keep some. And if you don't, you waste your time. And the money you keep doesn't come out of their pocket. You see what I'm saying? It's a whole different deal, guys. I heard somebody talk about jobs. I worked at Firestone in a large corporate thing that was collapsing. It wasn't pretty. It brings out the worst in people. At Firestone, when somebody gets promoted, who's happy? One guy. Why? Why isn't everybody else happy? Because only one's getting promoted and it wasn't them. See, and they think that's the way it is here. Think that's not it. Everybody can win. Even monkeys pick the lice off each other's backs. And you got some friends of yours that said they give you a hard time because you're out there trying to build your business, or your mama said, I don't think you should be doing that. Well, if your mama says that, you get yourself a new mama, right? You go build yourself a business and get free so that if mom ever reaches a part in her life that she can't care for herself, somebody in her family made enough money to take the bills and the responsibility to do it. And you can do it here. You're not making money. Somebody said they're going to get money and they're going to make it off you. No, they aren't. They don't even understand business. That wouldn't work. The only way you make money is when somebody else makes money and you get a small percentage that didn't come out of his pocket. That's a big deal. It's a lot different. It's a respectable thing you're doing. Kissing butt is not respectable. Kissing butt is something you have to do till you earn the rights to tell them what you think about them. We talk about the struggle. I sat there, I raised up in God's country. I went to college, I went in the army, all this stuff, came back, got the job. I thought, you work your butt off, you're going to get promoted, you get the raises. People say, what do you think you're doing? You're trying to make the rest of us look bad? Right? I was the first to work, the last to go home. I was excited. Biggest company on earth, almost, right? And what happens? That I ain't doing that. Then Tyler came, showed the business. I don't know why. I was 31 years old when I got registered in the industry. I was not broke. I was in debt. It would take a lot of money to get me broke. Broke means what? You ain't got no money. What's in debt mean? It's worse. Right? It means we got to get a lot of money to get broke. Right? My point is, I was in debt. I thought I was getting married. The whole world collapsed. At the same time, three brothers got in networking. And so they're all trying to sponsor me. I wanted nothing to do with it. I came home after Christmas. They chased me for a week. I came home after Christmas, and that had all fallen apart. I got so bad. It was during the winter doldrums when people commit suicide. I was so negative, so depressed, that I called my brother, Tyler, who lives 1,000 miles away, saying, are you going to come sponsor me, or do I have to call my brother Sam too? Pretty rough when you got to go get somebody who goes get you into something you don't know what it is, you don't know it works, it doesn't care if it works, I just needed somebody that treated me like I had value. You're going to sponsor somebody in your group if you just treat them like they got value. If you look at them as a price tag, you say, well, if Zach does it, I'll stick with it. If he doesn't do it, out of here. He can sense that attitude, but by golly, if you're on Zach's side no matter what, sometimes Zach's going to rise up and Zach's going to be huge someday. Maybe now, maybe when he's 60, hopefully when he's 21, right? My point is, I got in the business. I was taking 25 and 30 aspirin a day. I never once thought the business would work for me. Didn't think I could do it. Didn't even think it worked. But the headaches went away. I finally met somebody else that had a way. You're going to find out. There's something attracted you to this. And that's my point that I want to get to here in a minute. It took me a year and a half to get to zero. It took me a year and a half. I don't know why. I mean, I had a master's education. I got decorated, all the military thing, all this stuff. Where did this rotten self-image come from? Why couldn't I dare to invite anybody to see the plan? And I put myself down. I had a harder life than you did, and I can prove it. That was my attitude, right? And I don't know why, but it took me a year and a half to get to zero. And then the next year and a half, we retired. I retired to get in at 31, retired at 34, never to work for another man as long as I live. We have a different deal today. You can get there faster. You're going to build an asset. It's the right thing to do. What we're doing is what we thought we had. What we've got in, we thought, wow, this is it. And it was. And then we found out some other things happened. It wasn't done right. And we fixed it. And the good news is that Zach, at 21, when your great-grandchildren, right, around, they can inherit the business that you built because the foundation was built right. We're in the right place at the right time. I want to tell you that we just got things going. It took a long time. I don't understand. I say a long time, a year and a half to get to zero. And a year and a half to be free, that really isn't a long time. It seemed forever. See, we're just getting started. And I want to tell you what, when you all of a sudden, it'll start to pick up, momentum will hit. I remember we go to a seminar like this, we drove 3 hours, our group, 3 to 4 hours, every month to a seminar to Toledo, Ohio, 15 to 20 people. There were 15, 20 people there that hosted the function, there were 15, 20 of us. And we come every month. I remember the month we brought 50. They still had 15, we brought 50. I remember the month. Actually, I don't remember the month we hit 250. I don't remember when we hit 500. But I'll never forget. The couple that ran the function in the beginning were still running the function, and they still had 15 to 20 people. And I was working the tickets back there where Victor's sitting, and I remember counting tickets that night when in that room I brought 1,000. And the lady, bless her heart, she was an older lady. She had a little trouble walking. She came back around coming in the house, in around there with her ticket. And I was just the happiest. I love her to this day. I wish I knew her name. 1,000 in the room. You'll break through. Keep at it. Try. Swing. Learn. The group will explode. I remember paying off 5 credit cards in one day. And I didn't pay them what I owed them. I paid them $10 more so the next month they could write me a letter and tell me what they owed me because I was trying to get back at them. I didn't pay them a lot extra. They took a lot from me. Dare to put the dream on the wall. I look back there. We don't have John Sims' CD on dreaming. It's a magnificent thing. He talks about the refrigerator, putting the dream on the wall. Like Judy was saying, focus on where you're going. You've got hope. I don't care. And a year from now, 2 years from now, anybody a motorcycle guy at all? Really? I've never been on a motorcycle in my life. Tyler stood at a function. Tyler was 56 years old, stood on stage at a function, said, we're going to go to all 48 states on the way to a summer conference. He'd never been on a motorcycle. He's from New Hampshire. It's in the wintertime. He had to fly to Texas to get a license. He learned on a 125cc Honda. Wing, 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 wing. Right? Rode it for a day and a half, got his license, comes home and gets on a 1150 GS BMW. And I tell you what, my brother and I are praying people. And I'll tell you why. When you get on a motorcycle that fast and you don't know what you're doing, what do? The next year, I didn't do it the first time. The next year I did, because they're going to go on this trip again without me. So I went and got mine, and I flew to Texas, got my license, did the same thing. And we're out there. I did $1,500 worth of damage. When I picked up a brand new motorcycle, I picked it up. I didn't pick it up. I thought, I'll drive it. So I had a guy drive it to my church. And the reason I drove it to my church, because the church I go to believes in healing. And I, no lie, and I learned to drive in their parking lot, because I figured if I died in there, at least they're not going to give up on me. I know the Lord's going to heal me, but I'm going to, right? And on my first official act starting that motorcycle, I did $1,500 worth of damage in the garage because I forgot to pull on like the clutch. My point is, and we went and did meetings. We went to the West Coast. We were out here, down here in Huntington Beach, standing there. I thought, I don't believe it. I've never been on a motorcycle in my life. And here we are, the Pacific Ocean. Then I thought, oh, no, how do you get home? Right? My point is, I don't know what your dream is, but put it out there. I don't care what your fears are. You'll get over it. Tyler's a quote he uses all the time, Helen Keller, who could not see, could not hear. She was blind, deaf, mute, couldn't speak. She said, life is a daring adventure or nothing at all, guys. When I look around at Firestone going to work, the job ain't bad. We're doing okay. We're doing better than most. There's a book called Good to Great. We all settle for good. That ain't doing bad. We're doing okay. We're getting along. Yeah, we'll probably be all right. You're going around once. We're going to go around winning. Or we're going to go around... we ain't doing too bad. I'm not trying to get you to build a business. I don't care what you do. I don't care. If you want to be the greatest fisherman, then go fish. But if that's not what you're doing for a living, come on, right? You see what I'm saying? I want you to have whatever it is you want. I want you to, I talk about it all the time. Your relationship with your upline is more important than your group. Zach, you sponsor somebody in your group, and they get mad. Are you in Whitney's group? Is that Gerald's? So if Gerald or Leslie says something to your guy, and he gets mad, you say, too bad for him, because that's your source. He's the one that believed in you, not this guy that's got a rotten attitude. See what I'm saying? Because if you get there and go chase your group, they're going to take you right where do you think they're going to take you? Right down to work, kissing butt, well, like they always have. Come on. My point is, I'm not trying to get you to do nothing. I want you to get out of life what you want. I don't know what it is. But if you watch enough news, they'll convince you that nobody can do nothing. It's not over. You can be a free man. I'm going to tell you, if you're married, take your wife. I was single up until I was 58 years old. I was single. Right? So I couldn't take my wife, and I did everything I had to do. Was I as effective as I'd been without a wife? I have no idea. But I know now the Bible says, I'm not preaching, it just says when you marry, two become what? One. So today, when I go show the plan without her, I can do pretty good. But I took her on these meetings, all of a sudden we started taking her to these meetings. I came home, we found the key to a couple. I thought, when did you talk to her? She's telling me all this stuff, and it was the missing key. Because if I could figure out what it is they want, if I could figure out what it is standing in the way, we could fix that. Now, I can't fix it, but you know what I'm saying? We can work with this. We can help them. But I never would have got it on my own. So my point is, if you're married, take your wife. He said, we can't. She's working, and I'm working. I know that. But what we did, this new couple, we just got started. Judy went, and we're going to go into an open. They can't afford a sitter. So Judy babysat, and I took him to the open. You see, we can do lots of things. I know some of you guys trade sitting, like one person sits for everybody and all that stuff. That takes prayer. You learn to be religious. 15 kids. Oh, Lord. Lord, don't let me kill them. Right. Anyway. We talk about a couple, when a husband and wife work it together. lately. I mean, Judy and I have been married 10 years. But I don't know why. It's just lately we started talking about everything we do in the business together. Like here, I'm talking and speaking and all this stuff. Do you know what a horse pull is like at the county fair? What they got is a big, what they call a drag, just a big old flat thing that drags on the ground. They put weight on it and they have a horse pull it. And then whoever horse pulls the most weight wins. It's called a horse pull, all right? If you put a one horse on with a drag, you put 1,000 pounds dead weight on that drag, and he can pull it. A horse that can pull 1,000 pounds, that's pretty good. Well, if you get two horses that both can pull 1,000 pounds, and you put them both on it, one drag, how much weight can those two pull together? 10,000 pounds. 10 times what one can. And my point is, it's the same thing in the business. You take your wife, or the vice versa. You know, whatever, the more you do together, the better. If you can't, don't worry about it. You'll do what I had to do. It doesn't matter. Whatever your circumstances will work. Randy Haugen says, right, whatever situation you have, we have somebody in the group that's built the business and done it well. I heard somebody said a good salesman works with the account that he knows can afford his product. So a good salesman doesn't go talk to somebody that he doesn't think can do it. All right? In our business, that's not the case. In our business, we work with all of them. We build depth under the one we're working with to give them a reason to stay in, grow and change, and maybe become the one. But by golly, I would love it. If you got a picker in your group, if you got Zach, you sponsor a guy and said, man, this guy's amazing. He can pick the one that's going to do it. I'll fly him to Ohio and I'll pay him handsomely to go through my group and pick out the ones that can. And I won't waste my time with the ones that can't. But I ain't seen anybody can pick them. Why? Because who does the picking? Who in our business, who's the guy that picks the guy that can do it? At the job thing, it's the guy who says, you're it, Gilbert. But here, Gilbert picks himself. He says, I'm the guy who's going to do it. I'm the guy that's hungry. I'm the guy that's going to run. I'm the guy that's going to change. I'm the guy that's going to grow. I'm the guy that's going to talk to everybody. I'm the guy. And you can't pick them. So you love them all. In the book, there's a wonderful book. It's called Start With Why. It says in there, it's not the logic or the facts, but it's our hope and dreams and our hearts and our gut that drive us to try new things. And that's what we're doing. So my point is this. I told you, we're building what we thought we had. This one is guaranteed to work by design. We designed it. Our products give life to the cause and freedom. And we're building a freedom that's going to last. Last thing. I got two things I want to talk about and then I'm done. Randy Haugen, I talked to yesterday, and I was asking him, how do you get a new guy started? What do you do? And he said, it's all about romancing the new person when they get started. He said, when I start somebody, he listens. He says, tell me about your life. He'd ask him questions. He says, how's that turning out? He doesn't say, how's that turning out for you? Not that. He wants to know, how's it turning out? Is life what you expected? He asks him, where in life do you want to go? And he and Valerie listen. See, if we have to go in and do our deal to them, we'll never know where they want to go. Right? What's your first name?
Tanner.
Yep. So I'm sat there. If I never ask Tanner, I just assume he's young. He likes fast cars and boom. So I'm going to talk about how to get fast cars. If he hates cars, what did I? Nothing get done. See, I need to listen. I need to listen. Where does he want to go? And so it's the best thing out there. So when I got thinking about this, ever since I talked with that, how do you talk about that? And I get thinking, you know, when I show the plan to somebody, I show them the plan, and then I get back and I do the follow-up. And then when I walk through the door for a follow-up, I say, what'd you like best? Right? I don't say, what do you think? Some of them aren't qualified to think. Teach them, right? Teach them. They don't know, right? All right, Tanner's got some friends that'll say some negative, nasty thing. He's just being cute. Ask him the question. And if you're getting an answer you don't like, learn to ask what? Different questions, right? This isn't rocket science, right? You learn as you go. So what I do, I get thinking, you know what? I'll tell you what I do. When I'm with that new couple, I praise them. I run with them. I jump up and down when they get excited about anything. When we make a list, we identify the positive attributes of the friends they've got. Now, if they got relatives, and they don't have any positive, that may be a problem, right? I've had something like that. I listen to the prospects. I grin at them and look them dead in the eye. I care for them. I run with them shoulder to shoulder. I'm not saying, here's your why, now go do it. Call me when you get big. I'm going to go with you. We're going to set that. We're going to take that list. We're going to come up with those guys. We're going to call them together. And we're getting the car together. That couple, we went back 3 times in a row to this couple, the new couple we put in the bottom. So on the third night, I went back to that same miserable house in the same situation. I told Judy, I have got to get them out of that house. And I got that guy in my car. I don't care what we're going to do. His guy that canceled. So we went by and drove by the house anyway. There's a chance he could be outside. What are the chances? Not zero, right? But I want to get him out of the house. We're going to do something. We're going to run together. Right, we're going to go out there. We might have ended up at a dealership looking at $100,000, whatever. You don't need to look at expensive things. I've listened to what he wants. We ended up looking at trucks. He loves diesel trucks. I grin at him eye to eye. I care for them. I run with them shoulder to shoulder. I put gas in my car. I text them. With the two of us, we'll get in the car. We text them. Are you home? I want you to meet a guy, and we go by. I plug them into Appline. I brag about the leadership. I brag about all you. I introduce them to every leader I know, and I introduce to every leader I don't know. I want them to know everybody. I teach them how to talk to everybody because I talk to everybody. This is a little embarrassing to hang around with Libby. He talks to everybody. We were out in Kansas City, and I was just talking to the guy that ran the place. When we left, my guy that was with me went over there, and the guy says, nobody has ever cared about me that much. And this is just 3 questions. You see what I'm saying? My point is, I learned to listen. I learned to be loyal to them. I know if I'm loyal to them and their dreams, they'll be loyal to me. And when there's a lull in the action, when things aren't working, Gary will go to the store and he'll pick up a big old thing of ice cream, the highest sugar content of anything I can get. I'll go bang on their door. We'll wake up the kids. It's cookies and ice cream night, and the kids will be all wound up, and everybody's eating ice cream. But we're going to be in this together. We're not going to let this die out. I bought a lot of strange things of food in the middle of the night. We're going to wake the you leave in the middle of the night, the kids on the sugar high. But that's business, right? We're going to run. I want them to love the product. I want them to love the adventure. I want them to love changing lives, see their lives changing. I want them to see the hope they're bringing to other people. I want them to see, I cheer them on every success. When we go sponsor a new personal, we haven't done this with this couple yet. And so when we sponsor that first couple for them, all right, when we do, well, we'll be driving my car. We'll go out there and we'll get out somewhere where there's nobody around, right? And I'll say, well, stop the car. All right, I pull up and say, get out, quick. And they jump out of the car. They jump out. What's wrong? So then what we do, we dance around the car. You got one. We dance. Get in the car and go home. I'm going to cheer their every success. Who does that? Well, Tanner would, because he's used to it. And Zach, come on, it's time to be a kid. It's time to get excited about something. I send them cards. I brag about their success. I brag about them in front of their wives. I brag about them in front of their parents. I tell them about Randy Haugen's last day at work. I tell them about Tyler Libby's last day at work. I do it all. I go from house to house, build in depth. I don't preach and I listen. Don't be telling them what to do. Invest in yourself. Dare to dream. Get your hopes up. Everybody says, oh, don't get your hopes up. Why not? Right? What are chances you'll ever do anything in life if you don't get your hopes up? Where was it? Zero. Right? You got to get your hopes up. So, well, and you know why they tell you that? They got their hopes up once and they missed it. And they felt bad. The guy in my group, we showed him that two weeks ago. He got in today. Got his right before the CBDS in Ohio, signed up. My point is this. We got a text from him. We were with him a week ago Thursday night, about midnight. And he says, I'm excited, and it's always so great to be around people looking forward in a positive way. He said, it's so uncommon, it really stands out. And I thought, that's exactly it. This is an uncommon freedom. I tell you, on our motorcycle trip, we're out in Alberta, Canada. There were 10 of us and maybe 20 others. So we're all, and we got reservations in this hotel. Here's a businessman coming up to the hotel. He's got his briefcase. It's been a hard day. And here come these 30 motorcycles, right? And they're all staying in the same hotel. And he stands there, and he looks like, oh, crap, this is going to take forever, and I'm tired. And I turned around to him. He's in line. And I said, oh, don't worry, sir. We're more organized than it looks. We stood there for a while, and a little later he says, you know what? He says, you're living every man's dream. We want you to do that. We want you to have whatever that dream is. Tyler, one of the types of books he reads, you got to program yourself. You ask him what types of books he reads. He'll tell you what type of business books and all these things. But one of the types of books he reads are Westerns. And he tells you, because the Westerns are on a great adventure, and in the end, the good guy rides off into the horizon with the blonde wife. Well, Debbie's blonde, right? Anyway, in Louis L'Amour's book, Sackett Land, he said, a man needs heroes. He needs to believe in strength, nobility, and courage. Otherwise, we become sheep herded into the slaughterhouse. And that's what's happened to America today. All of a sudden, when nobody talks about strength, nobility, and courage, we're putting everybody down. We're looking at the bad side. I'm saying, overlook your faults. Overlook your faults. Why, look at what's happened. Judy and I, within a year and a half, we've been to Las Vegas together. Where we were in Provo. You guys been to Provo twice. Looks like little Switzerland. We were at Niagara Falls, one of the wonders of the world. And now next week we're off to Cancun. I tell you what, guys. There is no more dedicated group of men than those that fight alongside each other. Look at a group. Look at a band of brothers that were together in the military, something like that. That's what we're doing. We're out there making a difference right here. John Wayne says, courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. I like me best when I do what the business calls for. Whitney's mom and dad and aunt and grandma know what it's lived be to live without freedom. And they ran for their lives. His grandma is deaf in one ear because a grenade went off there as they ran for their lives. My point is this. It doesn't take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. That's a quote from Sam Adams. Some of you like him because you're a historian. Some of you because you like his beard. Anyway, either way, we're raising up an army. You're going to make a lot of money. You're going to make a lot of change. You know, some people make a lot of money anyway. Some have got a lot of time. Here is uncommon. You're going to have both. Anyway, my point is what? Judy's my prayer is you go home tonight with your heart restored, your dream alive, your confidence high. Don't you let nobody talk you out of your dream. Don't you let nobody talk you out of your dream. Valerie Haugen says, if one man can, any man can, and you've got it right here. You're fighting for your own freedom. And you don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. It's okay to pray because your freedom's on the line. And you're going around once. And the fact, Judy and I, and Randy and Valerie, Gerald and Leslie, Whitney, and Shannon, we believe you have what it takes. And we'll go to fight for you. We'll do anything we can for you. Can't do it for you. We do everything else. We're so proud of every one of you. Make this your deal. You can win here. When's the last time you heard anybody say, you can win? You can win here. You know that. God bless y'all.
This classic audio presentation was created to assist you in your personal development, furthering your leadership skills, and building a sustainable business. While no one can guarantee success, we hope that the principles discussed here will enable you to experience greater confidence and the satisfaction of genuine accomplishment. This is a copyrighted program of Common Sense Mentoring. All rights are reserved.